all these like heavy religious people in the, you know, the Bible Belt.
Denial.
Who bless everything. Mm-hmm. You know, like when every meal they bless the food, yeah, right. Is it having the same effect? So that all these people eating all this red meat.
Mm-hmm. And they bless it.
And they bless it. It's okay?
Yeah.
But they're not healthy.
I know.
Why not?
They're given that foundation to get them to think, to start correcting their will. Remember, this is only a credit card, is only an extension.
And the blessing is the credit card?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like, if I'm still putting milk in my coffee, mm-hmm. and I bless it, I can only do that for so long, and then I run out.
Exactly. Remember, nature doesn't want us to be a something-for-nothing person.
Okay.
Because that'd be against the truth of God in you. God is not a something for nothing, but God must provide a something for nothing behavior up to a certain period of your life. God is something for something. That's what Paul called, when I'm a child, I think like a child. Now I'm a man, I think like a man or an adult. A child attitude is a something for nothing. Grace over the thing and getting by with it because it is clear. As an adult, you realize sickness is caused by some misapplied action. And this misapplied action must be sorted out to find out why the sickness occurs and be corrected and not be practiced no more. So nutrition, being a way to nurture the system, is allowed to have a grace period of something for nothing for a certain period till we get sick and then we start reassessing the values of the food. So many people who come in to the church movement are coming there out of the belief system, and when they're sick enough, they realize they have to start inquiring to the next level. So they're going from kindergarten to public school. Then they go from public school to college. You guys are entering the college. And before you came to this solar eating, you were in the high school level of eating, but still questioning the value of the food in terms of chemistry. Prior to that, mom and pop put down your thing, you gotta eat it by. Because they told you to eat it, right? So that's what you got. So many of us are in that state in a church program too. Blessed are fine. But we're gonna get to graduate from that level of kindergarten to the level of the questioning some of the chemistry and then to the final time frame. The end result of all three movements is what we call the professor now, non-eating. So you go from kindergarten, high school, college, university.
Mm-hmm. Now jumping in another direction here, as far as those time frames that are real short, mm-hmm. the colors in between the colors, mm-hmm. Is this such a precise kind of science that that's the only time you can absorb those?
No. Those, yesterday, didn't I tell you, where a mineral has three functions?
Right.
A host, mm-hmm. a monitor, and a guest. And a guest can be either what? Cooperative or non-cooperative. Mm-hmm. But they are assigned to one of the light frames. That's where they will always operate in that light frame as a host, monitor, and their own personal guest themselves. But they can move to other light frames, providing the other light frames, and where they are used is how that mineral has been extracted along with other minerals of that light frame. Take for instance, you see our vanadium and lanthanum. It's assigned to this between the small intestine and the bladder. Any food of that range of light containing that is perfect from 12 o'clock midday right up to what? 7 o'clock midday. Because it's working in that time range.
Okay.
Now, what you need vanadium and lanthanum in the morning, say from 12 midnight up to 12 midday. It wouldn't be on a plant growing on a bush.
be on a plant growing in a tree.
You're saying the whole system is really like just created to work with itself, totally. Okay, but what I'm still not quite understanding is with those particular trace minerals, is the 3 p.m. the only time you can pull those in?
If you have an illness that requires vanadium,
then you need to be precise.
Vanadium is in the middle of the day already assigned. So your best result of any medicine made from vanadium for your illness would have to come directly out of that time frame, and it may be usually coming from a synthetic source, which is that time frame. Now, they may give the patient the vanadium, and the patient may not even get well because they may inject it at the wrong time or take it at the wrong time in the morning or in the night.
Mm-hmm. You know, it does
So the patient buys the substance from the store, puts it in at the wrong time to correct the problem, and it takes a certain length of time, but eventually see some correction. But it's taking 3, 4, 5 weeks to 2 months, 3 months before it's corrected. Now, what we are pointing out is this symptom that you have needs vanadium to correct it. That tells us if you're only going to take vanadium once a day to correct it, to make sure you know which source, because it'll spread out over a long period before you have to get correction from the one source.
This speeds it up.
Having vanadium available to you from 3 different light sources, though it's assigned to that one light source, that doesn't say other foods are not extracting vanadium. Nature would be totally impractical not to have a tree extract vanadium or a food under the ground extract vanadium, simply because vanadium is supposed to be middle of the day and only divine ones take it in. That wouldn't be valid for nature. Nature would have to have all 3 light ranges extracting it in different forms of food for different areas of the earth. Now, if vanadium is found in a sunflower seed, people who have sunflower seeds available to them go and get the best use of vanadium, right? But a man living somewhere in up north where no sunflower seeds are growing, and he got the same disease like the guy down in temperate zone in New York that needs vanadium, how is he going to get it into his system if nature doesn't make a compensation of growing it on a tree up there to give it to him, because he's not able to grow it in the form of sunflower seed? So his medicine man or shaman may find out, hey, you got this sickness, you can't get cured, you got to go down to New York. Well, you don't have money to go from Alaska to New York. No doctor up here know how to, we don't have a sunflower seed. Then what's going to happen? The doctors, they are puzzled. They can't get an injection of vanadium to stop the disease. So the man go looking for the shaman or medicine man. And the medicine man beats his drum and goon. And he said, now you take the tree from the pine, eat the sweet in the sweet and wine, and you will be all right. So where do you go? You go pick a pine nut. Oh man, what are you doing, pine nut? I'm from New York. Well, you better eat it, buddy, because you're going to get rid of your problem. You ain't got no vanadium. But that pine nut has got vanadium. How did the pine nut get it, vanadium? The vanadium is in the soil. The pine tree is high up in the air. It pulled out the vanadium to form the pinion nut. It's up there. Birds eat it. We don't eat it because, well, it's a pine tree. But then here's a person with a sickness that needs vanadium. And the shaman points out. So, if you want the shaman or you don't want him, that's up to you. But if you want the shaman, you go and get it, you break it, put it in your mouth, eat it, and you're cured. You come back to New York, and all of them who know you, oh boy, you're all right, what did you do? Oh, if I told you, I met a shaman, you won't believe it. Well, what the shaman got, though he may relate to his ritual in the form of a pine nut, the pine nut had the vanadium to correct the symptom. Now, if the man was living in New York, he'd go to the the hospital and they'll inject him with the vanadium right into his blood and he'll be alright. But that vanadium will be extracted from what? A sunflower seed. Now let's say the man was living down in Peru, where he can't get no sunflower seeds, he can't get no pine trees, but he sure got something that grows under the ground. It's called a cassava. Did I say a cassava?
It grows under the ground?
It was a melon.
I thought it was a melon.
Yummy, yeah,
too.
Cassava?
Oh, cassava.
Cassava, you know what cassava looks like? Mm-hmm. Like a yucca root. Oh. There are two ways to grow the cassava, one to kill you or one to cure you. Now, I'm going to grow the cassava to cure you. And make sure that there is no smoke around the place. When I plant it, it grows up like a nice bush. But then I have to pull the bush out to get the cassava root. Then I grind it, and you see in that picture where we got there, the woman walking with a little bucket on her head and some biting in her hand.
You're talking about the video?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's cassava she's chewing in her hand.
Oh, that's what that is?
That's cassava, yeah. And she's eating it, and she's way up in her nice 60s in us. So you can imagine she looks a nice young 35 woman. Yeah. Cassava, very high vanilla.
But she's eating it at the wrong time of day, isn't she? Mm-hmm. Isn't she eating it at the wrong time of day? Isn't it a root?
Yeah, it's a root. I didn't say she's solar. She's eating cassava. But that's where you'll get the cassava in the root now. Okay. The person in South America has access to vanadium in the form of the cassava. The person in this part of the world where sunflower seeds are growing, and sunflower are growing, they have access to the vanadium in the sunflower. The person who doesn't have access to sunflower or cassava, and is in a region where the pine trees are growing, has access to the vanadium in the pinion nut. Now, don't tell me you're going to lie down and die from the sickness simply because you can't get vanadium when you got three different shamans capable of identifying your problem and finding the symptom and the medicine to cure it. Man up north, his shaman gives him pinion nut. Man down south, his shaman gives him yucca. Man in America, his doctor is giving him an injection that is taken from sunflower seed. But he's going to take it from pinion nut, and he's not going to take it from the cassava, because why? It's not available in that quantity to be made into an injection. So each location, vanadium is used. Now when we come back to look at ourselves, we then need what? Vanadium three times a day to insulate us against a certain symptom in the body. And we have access to it when you go into the supermarket there or the health food store and say, give me some pinion nuts, I'm going to eat them in my morning. Give me some sunflower seeds, I'm going to put them in my salad this afternoon and lunchtime. And give me that yucca root, I'm going to eat them tonight with my eggs or my mushrooms. I have vanadium going right through. But I know when to put in the vanadium, and I know from what source the vanadium is accessible to me, instead of being restricted and in a panic level that I can't get it if I'm living in an area where we don't know where it is. And I simply need vanadium, and I can't get it. So vanadium is a substance, but it's found in sunflower seeds. Now, how many people years ago, if you ask yourself, would have eaten a sunflower seed before people began to cheat the birds out of it?
Donna, we need potassium in the morning. We take KM, but you said it's made from herbs. Why wouldn't we take it in the afternoon? Solar-wise. Is there an overriding because you need the mineral at that particular point?
Name me a food that has potassium in the afternoon. Potassium is assigned to the morning light range. Mm-hmm. You have foods that have it in the morning already, a prune. Do you know a food in the middle from 12 o'clock to 7 o'clock that has potassium? You don't know?
I don't forget.
What was that food?
Spinach, and spinach, I'm guessing.
Come on, you.
The food in the afternoon?
Mm-hmm. You were the person that... What do you want me to serve? What she wants you to serve her? Come on, you have a phone call this morning. Right here, I said, no, man. She tells you on the phone, she's coming from Texas, and she's gonna visit with you, and she wants breakfast. What she wants for breakfast?
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Vicky called, she's a friend of Vicky.
Oh, she wants oatmeal for breakfast. Yeah.
You heard a big conversation now. Really happy to think of what we have got. Well, eat them in the morning, you get sick like every jerk that gets sick and calling themselves weight loss and high pressure. And you were in my clinic the other day, the man that came there, he used to eat the oatmeal, you know, in the morning because he went through, what did he tell you now?
Oh, God. He just thinks solar diet is the best thing that ever came onto the planet.
And he would sign a stack of credentials now to anybody because he's a living example of a turnaround. When he could never get his blood pressure down to anything, where he is competent, his blood pressure is normal. And this has been for years. And that's what I'm talking about. It is not the chemistry, it's the time frame of his growth absorbed in the light as a food. You need potassium.
But that's Terry's point.
Yeah, but that's my question. Because KM is herbs, right? Mm-hmm. Now,
that's
herbs are afternoon, aren't they?
Middle of the day.
Middle of the daytime.
Yeah.
Right.
And but we're...
You didn't hear what I said.
No, that's why I want clarification.
The KM is made from 14 herbs mentioned in the Bible. That is not available in a powdered form or liquid form before. They were all in tablet form.
Right.
It comes from the tree.
Oh, trees.
It comes
tree.
From the bark. It comes from the leaf. It comes from the vine, and it comes from the root.
So all
herbs, they're all they're listed in your Bible as the 14 supreme herbs for man for centuries.
And you're saying it's like it's a neutral substance that you can have all day long.
And for the first time, we are getting it in a liquid form. This doctor who discovered how to incorporate it in 1922 didn't sell it to the public. He used it on himself and his family and friends. And he got a Nobel Prize given to him for his research work. He lives in Canada. He was brought into Canada. I heard about it. I was exposed to him in Canada. But at that time, they weren't bottling it. He was just doing it for the Canadian research. And in 84, his son was already 40-some years of age. He gave his son the formula. The man is still alive. He's not dead. He's in his 80s. He looked like a guy in his 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave the son the formula and he said, okay, you can make your own livelihood. And his son is a chemical engineer and a scientist. And the son decided to market it for the first time to the public because it's made in Canada under the supervision of the father and made sure that the plants that where they're all coming from are all under his observation because he wants the public for the first time to have something outside of the range of sprayed, controlled, and genuine use of the stuff, but in a liquid form. That's how it came to be available since 1984 to now. Now, a person who is eating solar can take it and get results to correct their digestive tract, correct their elimination problem, and start the process of cleaning up the blood. A person who is eating solar, it doesn't register on them as much. But when you combine body toddy with the KM, which is a high potassium manganese base in those minerals coming from a tree or a root or from above the ground, and you combine it, you have a unique volume of output of the energy from those minerals in your body more than normal. And that's how we come to realize the combination is beneficial for both people who have never used it and people who have been using body toddy. For those who have never used body toddy and those who have never eaten solar, the combination is good. And those who are eating solar and have used body toddy, the combination is even better.
But you would only use KM in the morning then?
You can take it before you eat.
But morning only, or would you use it?
No, before you eat.
Okay, so it's like body tea, you can take it through the day?
No, it's one cap of the KM, a half a cap of the body tea.
Okay.
Before you eat. Now, we've been testing this for a while, a long time, and why are we coming into body tea now? So, body tea would cover the other set of trace minerals, and that's what we're going to do in class four, and we'll show you what time of day they work.
Okay.
Where's
Cam?
Is she here?
Yeah,
right
there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Make sure we're taken care of.
Well, let's finish our tea and then we can get started on class three.
You're the only ones drinking tea. So.
Do you? We'll enjoy it with you. Vicarious.
Yesterday we mentioned that a mineral assigned to a time frame has three functions. All minerals have both basic and trace. They have three functions. One, to be a host, and we have already covered what is the function of a host.
To receive.
To provide.
Provide, receive, and be the what? Buddy who
picked up the
money. Pay the tab. Okay, good, right. Then the monitor is what? One who does what?
He's the director.
Okay. Make sure that everybody toe the line, right? The guest can either be cooperative or non-cooperative. A cooperative guest represents within the light frame of which it's formed. A non-cooperative guest is outside of the light frame from which it was formed. But since nature forms food out of the soil, extracting basic minerals in three different light frames, in three different formations of the geometry, she allows these minerals to be in the food, to be brought into the body as a cooperative guest or as a non-cooperative guest through your wrong understanding and you're putting it in the wrong time, then you learn through your mistake. But she has already set it up by the way it grows to the light that it goes in. Now, I'll give an example. We'll take iron, the prime element in the whole body. Do you know, of all the minerals and elements in your body, there are only two of them that are actually magnetic. All the rest are electromagnetic. Go figure that one out.
Iron's one of them.
Okay, which one is? What are the two?
The other one's a trace element.
Would it be lead?
No. Two are magnetic by nature. They don't need no electricity to trigger them or do anything. They simply attract and repel. They're designed by nature. That's iron and carbon. Now, your pituitary gland, the core of it contains what?
Pituitary. The core of the pituitary?
The core of your pituitary gland contains what?
You mean what? Trace element?
Or mineral, you think it contains?
Lithium.
The core of your pituitary gland? You know what your pituitary gland does?
What's iron. Iron.
Why?
Because you just said that there are only two elements that are magnetic.
No, it's got to be carbon.
Yeah,
is it iron?
Every pigeon in this world guides himself by what? Homing instinct, fancy name for what? Pituitary gliding by the magnetic imprint pattern to where it came from in reference to longitude and latitude to light relationship to temperature. That's a known phenomenon for years, that the pigeon's been doing that, we call a homing pigeon, and when he cut his head open and look inside. I know people don't like to hear those stories, but I had to do it on what I find on a pituitary gland, a little speck of iron. No, I ain't any different than a bird or a fish or a cow. Therefore, what have I got in my pituitary gland?
Iron.
Good. But the iron in my pituitary gland is extracted out of the soil formation in a name called magnetite. Mm. That's the name they find it, or the substance they find it. They find, so magnetism is the next jump off in English for magnetite. So the pituitary gland contains iron. Now, listen carefully, because you're going to be dealing with physics and you're going to deal with a lot of all these religious ideas, and then you'll see the religious ideas don't really go away from the physics. Eastern man puts a ruby here to represent his what?
The pituitary gland.
Good, good. You want to make a laser beam device, what kind of material you have to use?
Ruby.
Ruby.
Good. Now listen carefully. When you use the amplification of the electrical beam through a ruby, you have to have an iron core to make it do what?
Pulse.
Spot. So, zeroing in on an object through a laser amplification requires the iron. And so, the pituitary gland is already made by nature to be the most fantastic laser beam. So, when early man was putting ruby there, what was he doing it for?
Increasing his pituitary.
He was increasing the amplification of the iron in the pituitary gland, primarily for one thing first, not the second thing. The second thing is the magical. The one important thing he's putting it there for, to stabilize his metabolism. But the early men did that in an agricultural way. The gurus gave them the knowledge and hid to themselves in the jungle and the mountains, but they didn't put it down in books. But they were not giving the layman the ruby. Who they gave the ruby to?
The Brahmins, the kings.
Kings and the Brahmins and all the important people had it, right? And they were given for what? To stabilize the metabolic function of their pituitary and to have the insight to govern the people. They were the first people to have it given to them.
Does the ruby contain iron?
No.
No. It activates the iron.
Yes. And that's why they use it. Now, the iron is in the pituitary gland. And it's a prime element in your body. So what is the prime function of your body? Is it that metabolism?
Me too. So
if you don't metabolize correctly, what would it do with you?
Very easy.
Good. Now, where is the pituitary gland located? Under the nose or the above the nose?
Behind
the nose. Above the nose.
Above and behind.
Is that the origin of the nose or the tip of the nose?
It's the origin.
That's the origin of the nose right there. And this, where did we put this dot to remind the pituitary glands behind it? Mm. Right by the origin of the nose. So your glands are like this here. Now when you've got a little two vials up in here, they're sealed up to insulate you, and you're in the womb, and they're pumping the liquid through the fluid, through the umbilical cord. And as soon as you reach 9 months, round it out, dilated to the right size, the pituitary gland triggers the umbilical cord of the mother to tell her it's time to get rid of the jerk. And the umbilical cord jerks. It constricts. And they call it labor pains. Sounds familiar?
But now, why is the pituitary gland saying it's time? What information does it have to know that the time has come?
Which other element will do it?
Carbon.
Carbon.
But carbon is a waste.
No, but I mean, in other words, in terms of just the human development of the embryo, what is the embryo, what information is the embryo communicating to the pituitary gland that the pituitary gland then translates as its time?
The dilation and the constriction has gone exactly the required lunar exposure of 9 times 28. And therefore, it is already set up in the silicon chip to trigger the iron in the pituitary gland to trigger the vanadium in the umbilical cord of the mother. So her umbilical cord starts to constrict. Time for her to get ready for delivery. But it's already set up there because there is no element in there that can send the signal magnetically to the mechanism other than iron. Now, if iron isn't your prime element in your body, if iron isn't in the pituitary gland to regulate metabolism, which is nothing but a magnetic pull and push of the cellular structure of your body, then iron is useless. Because metabolism, if you look it up in your dictionary, you'll see it's the body's ability to do what? To constrict and dilate on
time.
And you need something that is magnetic to set up constriction and dilation, which is attraction or repulsion, to do it objectively, functionally, and only iron as a mineral or element is capable of doing that in the body. Now, I didn't make the physics, I'm stuck with it. I just got to understand it to work with it, otherwise they bury me back.
Why physically can't something electromagnetically be responsible for sending those signals? What's the difference between a magnetic element and an electromagnetic?
The first compass designed by a man was made of what?
Magnetite. Magnetite.
Which told him there was a North Pole. But it wasn't electrical.
Magnetic.
It was magnetic. Mm-hmm. That was the first. He did not dog hunting with electricity. So how did he guide himself?
So that's more basic than...
Yeah.
Than
now, is iron a basic mineral?
Yeah.
Very, very basic. Now, which is the most important element in your blood to be alive? I didn't say which is the most important gas that makes your blood alive.
Iron.
Good. You know of any other one? I don't know many of them because they ain't going to do the job. They can't do the job because they all operate electrically. Iron is the only one that operates by pressure. That's a funny phenomenon. Mm. And what is magnetism? Mm.
Yeah, he said it with the moon, and the moon comes closest to the earth.
Yeah. See where my thumb is? With this, push. Come on, push. What have we done?
Pressure.
Yeah. Is it attraction or repulsion?
Attraction.
Good. Keep your up. What is this one?
It's a repulsion.
Mahabaluk. One hand is death.
Right hand.
What hand is death?
Left hand.
Why is it talking on this side? Didn't work it. See repulsion right there?
Right, okay.
Okay, want to see attraction right there? Would it take two opposite sides of the body to bring about what?
Attraction.
That's exactly what magnetism is, and that's what iron is doing in the pituitary gland. You have to have opposites to bring about what?
Attraction.
Attraction. And likes to dispel. So it takes the iron in the pituitary gland to bring about that function in us. That's why it is the only element next to carbon that naturally is magnetic, operating in the framework of pressure, attracting or repelling. All the others must work in a field of movement called electron flow. And the iron can function with or without the electron reaction. It's naturally already set. Now, let me put it this way. The first car made by man, what type of transmission did he have?
Mechanical.
Stick shift, right?
Yeah.
Good. That's fundamentally iron. The next advancement became what?
Magnetic.
That's electrical.
Mm.
Then after that came what?
Computer chip. Chip. Computer
Correct.
Chip.
Who's a magic? What you mean memory bank? So stick shift is first, that's basic iron in you. Then automatic, everything moves in electrically into the slot. And that is what all other elements will do. And yet you know, they have to take the frame of the engine and make it out of what? Metal. In order to make it possible to work through the magic, right? Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
So the fundamental element in the mechanism is iron. So it's assigned in two light zones, yellow, green. And in four organs, heart, small intestine, bladder, kidney. The bulk of the blood moving through the body has to be filtered where?
Kidney.
Liver.
Your blood is filtered in where?
Filter
to the liver. Liver stores the blood.
The heart.
Oh, tell me more. Ask the nurse over there. Where's your blood get the?
I'm not a nurse though.
Where does the blood get its oxygen from?
The heart.
The lungs.
And where is it? Why it goes to the heart to do what?
Pump.
Mm-hmm. But it's filtered in the liver, isn't it? Cleaned in the liver.
What filter does? What's filtered? Carbon dioxide, yeah. Oxygen is in the lungs.
The oxygen comes through the lungs,
mm-hmm.
goes through the to where?
Blood. The heart to be pumped.
And where is the blood? What is going up to the heart? What type of blood is going to the heart?
Blue blood.
Oxygenated blood goes to the
carbon.
Heart.
Keep talking. That's fundamental hygiene you get.
Both go through the heart, though.
To do what?
To be pumped, to be cleaned.
To be oxygenated.
Yeah, and to be oxygenated.
Oxygenation is filtering system, friend. Cleaning it. It can't clean itself in the liver. It can't clean itself in the lungs. It will clean itself in the heart. Because the oxygen is coming in through the lungs to enter, to move it, to clean itself through two valves. An arterial and a venal. One comes through the vein, the other one goes out through the artery as the end product. But it may act as a pump. But it also acts as a what? A cleaning device.
But your blood's not getting oxygen from the heart, right?
Yeah,
it's getting from all those little air sacs in the lung, isn't it? You know, all those Isn't that what it does? Like, isn't that where all those little fine capillaries
are? Wait a minute. What is in the capillary? Blood?
Yeah, and oxygen.
So where is the blood going to be absent in the mechanism that the oxygen is going to come in the lungs and not contact the blood? Name me a location in your body that doesn't have blood. And let's see how it's going to work. From head to toe, you're covered with blood underneath the skin.
Mm-hmm.
But the oxygen is a gas coming in through the nostril, mm-hmm. and it's passing through the blood through fine little openings of little tendrils that you call all fancy names. But those tendrils all contain what? Blood.
Mm-hmm.
And the blood prime element is iron. So where are we going to get to?
So it attracts the oxygen.
You get in there. You understand?
Right.
You
get
it.
Iron attracts oxygen?
You bet.
Right. That's
and if you get too much, what you got?
Rust. Iron oxides.
Tell us clear, because I had to grind them off for years for a living in this country. What you call rust on an iron,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing but overloaded oxygen on a piece of iron. And nothing else. Didn't know that?
Okay.
Wow.
Where is oxygen? Here's an iron pipe. Here's a nice iron pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Just made off the assembly line.
Mm-hmm.
And it ran through the scouring device that takes out the and allow the pipe to slide out. It sits there on the floor. And it's cooling down from the heat. Now, is there any oxygen surrounding it in the air?
It takes water. It takes the oxygen from water to make iron rust, right?
From the atmosphere.
And the water comes from the atmosphere. Is that what you're saying?
H2O.
Right.
And HO.
Hydrogen.
And HO3. There are lots of things in your air that you're familiar with. H2O.
Water.
And HO is another kind of water.
Heavy water.
And that is H3O.
Which is a hydroxyl ion which combines really easily with other things.
You have a pipe just come off the assembly line and it sits there in a rack cooling. What do you think the heat is going to do to the oxygen in the air?
It's going to vaporize.
Exactly through 2 inches away from it.
It will condense the water in the vapor.
Yeah. And if we don't move it, to clear it, to coat it, to insulate it, by the end of 1 hour, we're in problem. We already started to see some lousy stuff forming right there, because the pipe had already got cold in the hour's time. And then all the moisture that the heat reacted away from the pipe 2 inches has set like a perspiration. Then that moisture will start doing what to the iron?
Oxidizing.
It starts to eat through it. Because what's the function of water?
Break everything down.
That's right. Make that iron soluble. So it starts to eat away. Now Mother Nature comes along while the water is eating away the iron, making a hole into it, really, or is it separating the crystals of the iron so that the water can go through to reach where water have to reach? See? Now, that pushing away will leave a film on the water. And that film on the water was the original metal that was hard cooling down, now getting soft from the condensation and now form an apparent hole in the metal. And then the water in that hole is cooling off and leaving a film. And as the water gets drier and drier, that film gets what? Harder and harder.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like something called rust. And as the air gets cooler in the room, then that rust gets what? More and more dry and brittle. So your pipe now ain't no good to the guy who's going to put it in the ground to run gas through it. He's going to send it back and say, this is corrosive pipe. We can't run gas through it because it'll explode. So what we got to go back and do now, take a brush made out of carbon. That's a rougher guy than the iron. But he's and scour the hell out of the iron to take off the rust, the portion off of it, so it looks clean again. And then we got to run a liquid solution that acts like a film to coat the iron to prevent it from rusting now. You call it a paint or anti-rust coating, then a film with a pigment to make it identifiable. But that's what they will do on metal. So metal can't be left like that. It'll corrode and break down. So iron is like that in your body. If you don't get enough oxygen into your system, and you don't get enough potassium in your system, iron will start to do what? Clog up in your system, and therefore, sooner or later you get what? Varicose veins. Mm-hmm. And the doctor say your varicose veins are loaded up with what? Toxic iron waste. Mm-hmm. Now you want to clean it out, you need citric acid. Then you take it out, but don't burn your hand. And you pass the knife this way, around the hot orange, and then this way, and then you pull the skin back, and you eat the hot orange. And if there's a seed in the orange, bite right into it, and get the nut. The nut. And you'll start cleaning out the veins. And you know the formula is one orange for every month of your age. So if you're a 30-year-old person, you're 360 months, which is 360 oranges. Take you a year to do it, one a day.
What about KM? Won't it do it?
KM will not clean your blood. And you'll not clean varicose veins.
Would the veins actually go down? In other words, if you when you see the varicose veins by doing it over the time, they'd actually just the skin would be normal again. Then how would?
You want to see skin?
Is this a varicose vein right here? That will go.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the skin of veins that have been cleaned. That was varicose.
You kidding?
I'm not kidding. you'll get varicose veins lying in a hospital with a cast around you for a year and 9 months. Don't worry, if you'll get it.
What about the little capillaries, the little red? Will that clean too, don't
it? It'll all clean itself, my dear friend.
Oh,
that's you see, if you don't do it yourself, then it's only book knowledge. It's until you do it, then you have facts to talk on because you can apply it to the next person, and after the period is been done, they'll come back ranting and raving and vouching for you as the best person they ever met. And I said, don't bug me no more.
Do you have to do it consecutively, though, for it to work? Does it have
to
be?
You gotta do it every day.
Yeah, in other words, you can't do it 1 week and miss a couple of days and then start counting again?
No.
You have to start counting all over again.
You're allowed up to 3 days, but don't go beyond 3 days. That's a Polartic principle in all these chemistry. You're allowed 3 days grace. If you miss the point, you can go 3 days, but you've got to come back. If you've gone back past 3 days,
and start over.
I guess start over.
Okay, and what time of day? What time of day?
10 a.m. in the morning.
Any time up to midday, but the best time is at 10 o'clock. Now, if you're not able to do it at 10 o'clock, when you get up in the morning for your breakfast, you can eat it with your almonds. It's the only food that will go with almonds, a hot orange.
How about cold orange?
Cold orange, if not, it won't take away no varicose vein.
No, but if you wanted to have
An orange with
an orange and almonds for breakfast. If you're rushing yourself.
Yeah, okay, that's all right. Orange will blend with almonds.
But you shouldn't eat anything else at that time. No. Yeah.
Lemons or grapefruits too with almonds?
Grapefruit, lemon are all citrus. They will blend with the almond.
Will they clean up the varicose vein?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they will clean up the varicose vein. And a grapefruit is a combination of a lemon and an orange, right?
I didn't know that.
That's why they call them grapefruit.
Did you know that? You know who invented the grapefruit?
The Chinese.
No. Oranges existed. Lemons existed. In America, we don't like mini lemon. It's too sour and too small. Let alone lime for the limey. An orange came from China. So orange is about this size, and a lime and a lemon is this size. So there's a fellow by the name of Luther Burbank. Why not see if I can get the value of both the lemon and the orange all in one fruit?
So if you take a grapefruit, does it cut the time down in half?
No, it doesn't cut the time down. I like the way you're cheating. It doesn't cut the time down. I'll put it this way though. It will make the tissues more resilient after the cleansing than a plain orange. Based on the fact that you're getting the benefit of the orange and the lemon incorporated into the grapefruit. But you have, I would put it this way, if you have varicose vein and you're overweight, grapefruit would be a better source of cleaning the varicose vein for an overweight person than an orange. An orange wouldn't bring the weight down, but the grapefruit will eventually keep the weight coming down along with cleaning the varicose vein. So you have a double advantage for an overweight person. But an ordinary thin person who had varicose vein, but I was overweight, so 9 times out of 10, the overweight person is usually the one that have what? Varicose veins. Very few skinny people have varicose veins. But the bulk of people with varicose veins are overweight.
So will it clean the blood, just the total blood? In other words, varicose veins are a condition of the blood not being clean. So any kind of blood condition, this orange is going to clear all of that?
It will.
It will.
After surgery too?
Yeah.
Does it matter if it's pink or white or anything?
No, that has none to do.
Do you boil it the same length of time?
Yeah.
Even though it's bigger?
Even though it's bigger.
And why is it, you're so specific about how to peel it. You cut it in half one way and then cut it in half another and peel it back, right? You're quartering.
So you don't want to cut it in half.
You don't?
No. You want to pull it apart and eat it in segments.
Oh.
So that the heat doesn't escape out from the warm orange.
Oh, all right.
You want to eat it that way, bite into it and let it pulp whenever you eat it. So when you cut it, you automatically deactivate the heat inside and then it starts cooling down and the riboflavins will get cold too fast and they will not do the job.
Okay.
In other words, your vitamin C is already there too, but you're not going to destroy the vitamin C by heating it outside in that form, and you will not destroy the vitamin C by eating it in the segments. But if you cut it, the whole thing starts to alter right away.
And you eat all the little seeds, like there's lots of seeds in the orange.
Just bite right into them and eat the nuts.
Swallow
them. Eat the nut, but not the seed, the outside part. Spit it out, but eat the nut.
Adaro, I ate the
orange.
Adaro, I burnt my health. I've had all that already. People do it because, please, don't burn your hand. Please don't swallow the husk. But if you do swallow the husk, I guarantee you'll have good bowel movements.
So it won't hurt you.
Won't hurt you. It's fiber. Not a nice edible fiber. Very irritating.
Okay.
Now, the trace minerals are set up and we want to identify with the most important ones now with the diet. I'm not coming to the body study till later on, but one that are listed today. Number one, trace mineral is iodine. Takes, just like number one mineral is iron. They take their role and they do their job in a unique way. Iron gives you iron-rich blood. It reinforces nitrogen, so you have iron will. You can stick things out. And that's basic mineral. But in order to have grace, so that your iron don't rust on you, and the nitrogen isn't there to save your gas oxygen, you need iodine. So anytime you eat protein minus nitrogen, you're going to get what kind of disease?
Cancer.
You get cancer. And if you eat protein plus nitrogen, you get what? A healthy body, right? Now, iodine is, you'll notice it comes in the two light zone, right? With all the trace, bulk of the basic minerals. Iodine is on the yellow and iodine is on the green, right? If I told you the charade that Brother Jesus and his 12 disciples played a few centuries ago was a chemical game of chemistry, will you believe it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because all the facts are showing up of the non-decomposing body, you better get iron if you want to have around here. Mm-hmm. This is what is a funny phenomenon. All the 12 basic minerals match all the behavior pattern of the 12 disciples. even my brother, Judas. Tell me which element you think Judas was.
Iodine?
No. Yeah. 12 basic minerals, 12 disciples. Which element you think was Judas?
Hey, look at my grip sheet. Carbon.
Yeah, I think it's either carbon or iron.
No.
Neither of them.
Peter was iron.
On this rock.
On this rock, I build my church. I build my temple. On iron, I'm gonna make it, man. No, sulfur.
Sulfur.
Sulfur, Judas. Every one of those 12 disciples were a mineral. Their behavior pattern was evident in the mineral they emphasized in their body. But Jesus was the iodine. It's in the thyroid, it controls the thyroid, and yet it's assigned to the yellow and the green light zone. And it works with the bulk of the minerals, except potassium and manganese, they are not present there in that light zone. They are in two other light zones, right? Mm-hmm. But where is iodine best working, in which organ?
Thyroid.
Now look at the clock and tell me what time of the day you find thyroid.
9 to 11.
What mineral you find there?
Manganese.
Interesting phenomena. Brother Jesus only had one beloved disciple.
John.
He's manganese. And so the thyroid, having the iodine, gives you the guts to stand up and be a man. Remember, he's the youngest of them all? He was the youngest. So what? He would need the what? Supervision of the ideal to foster him in a state of where decisions have to be made. And where is manganese? Is it not in the thyroid? Hmm? Mm-hmm. Good. But you notice something? Gallbladder has manganese, right? And gallbladder has potassium, right? Mm-hmm. So, John had to have the guts to write a book. The gall to do it. And the other brother would have to match him up, his name was Matu. Otherwise, we wouldn't have anybody matching Brother John. So he was potassium. They were both writing of laws of nature, and yet they were representation of the minerals. And when you come to work in your body, if you look at the lives of these men, they lived out exactly what those minerals will do. What would potassium do for you?
Get you going.
Really?
Clean you out.
Eliminate.
Yeah.
Eliminate. A Matthew's book is what?
Getting rid of your...
It's the first book.
Program.
It's the very first book to get you straight, not to eliminate all the crappiness out of your head, right?
Yeah.
And John wrote two. Revelations and the Book of John.
Right.
And he gave you the scientific indication. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt with man. And then he wrote Revelation. That's the highest sensitivity of man. And that's what manganese can do for you if you get it in your body. You can operate in your intuitive nature, and you can operate in the what you are. You tell the truth as is. The more manganese you put in your body, the more you're honest with yourself.
Wow.
And anytime you find yourself beating around the bush, you're running for sulfur. You're running for sulfur.
Oh.
You're putting in a lot of sulfur foods. Now, people who lie the most, they love egg, right?
And potatoes. And they all have a lot of sulfur in them.
Good.
But
I didn't make it up. I stuck with it.
But doesn't sulfur play a role in getting more light into the system? Spiritual light?
Yeah. No, go wrong. Sulfur is also Scorpio. Scorpio that sticks itself.
And they're the master liars in the zodiac.
Scorpio? Really?
And they stick themselves and kill themselves because they're cornered by fire. And they emerge like lobsters because they pick up everybody. And then they fly away in the glory of an eagle. The Indians on this reservation, on this whole world, all primitive man recognize these laws. But here comes sulfur as one of the most unique elements in your body. It'll muck you up and it'll clean you up at the same time.
So having sulfur helps.
Yes, you bet.
So what happens? They just too much sulfur
will kill you and make you get your adrenaline going too fast. And not enough sulfur is no good. So you need sulfur to function. So Yogananda will say, don't adrenalize or sulfurize. Learn to phosphorize. Then you don't have any more lies.
Mm-hmm.
People couldn't understand why he used to talk like that, but I understood right away. And he's a lamb. He's a guy who is telling me all the truth of the cosmos in physical language. I've had that to me to say, Adam, God gave us love. But we may go wrong quoting it when inside your body is phosphorizing, glowing in the dark. Some people call it what? Aura?
Yeah.
Mm. So we should pass
phosphorus glowing dark.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Now people who have a nice aura, what do they have? Too little love.
So
or too much of?
Doubting?
Good. They got their phosphorus working for them on time. Mm-hmm. They ain't got no magic going there, but they got what? Phosphorus working through their body on time. And they are glowing in the dark. And you'll find what foods have phosphorus. Remember, It's very good for your brain, you know. They call it brain food.
Mm.
Fish.
It's my food.
Yeah.
What'd she say?
What food has it?
What did she, Pam, say?
I said it's found in my food. Mm.
So like kelp.
So your phosphorus allows you to glow.
What are the foods then that are have a lot of manganese?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Do you like ginger? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You like garlic?
Uh-huh. Good. Ginger and garlic.
You like that nice onion?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. You like that watercress?
I love it.
Good. Do you like asparagus?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Last night we had a nice combination of asparagus and shrimp.
Oh. So we were manganesing and phosphorizing.
To walk in a restaurant on a night not expecting to find an asparagus meal with a seafood together. Who would have think of a nice solid dinner like last night? We didn't even have to teach the people.
Or it was a Chinese restaurant.
Asparagus and shrimp.
That's
fantastic combination. All your 12 basic minerals are there, plus your vitamins and transmitters, your iodine, everything. But there, they were doing it. We wanted to eat, but we didn't come to tell them. No, we didn't even tell them to make it. We got there and saw it looking straight in our mind. And I thought the bag was too little hot sake to take care of the shrimp, you know.
So, John, because of that combination, if you got, say, if you thought it was really good and you ate that, say, every night, that combination, would it be good? Because it,
yes.
In other words, it wouldn't, you could do
it's
it
a perfect
day.
Solar food,
uh-huh.
Number one. It takes care of all your basic minerals at night. And your body will pass it through without any blockage.
Yeah.
And you'll have the energy, and your loved one next to you is eating it, he can't be impotent. There's no such deal going on while he's eating it. He'll only be if he's out of sync. And if you're out of sync. No, it's these foods in the right time frame with the minerals set up by nature is geared for the highest hormone behavior. Why? When God made man, and I was showing her this morning a statue. Nice, lying down there sleeping, brand new. And put breath into them. They'll wake up and move. What's he going to tell them to do? They don't have any program. They're like a brand new computer. So he has to program them, right? So he tells them, go forth, multiply, have dominion over the universe. That is to match the peaking of the oxygen going through the 143 elements in their perfect time rhythm. End result is called hormone balance. So you can imagine the first pair woke up, they were horny. I hate to use that word, but that is a fact. You can live with it. And vitality or vitality is that in us. China now is trying to make elderly men and women quit hiding in the room and get out associated with people. Because they're looking at a long health breakdown welfare program which they don't want to cater to because these people are dying out for what? Lack of expression between their ages. And they figured what research shows, if they let the elderly people react again like young people, they are not showing up at the medical clinics. And we're going to find this here in our society that our welfare program and all these things are going to what? Advertise, come dance and enjoy yourself in the evening, meet your friends in a non-smoking room. So you're going to be geared more to the health inside of you, and the chemistry is going to back it up.
Okay. Donna, what was phosphorus food? Which foods are phosphorus?
Phosphorus is seafoods.
Seafoods.
No,
which apostle was phosphorus?
Huh?
Which apostle was phosphorus? Which apostle was Phosphorus? Which disciple was Phosphorus?
There's potassium, manganese, iron, and sulfur. That's all.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a simple question.
Sure.
Which one glowed in the dark?
Oh.
His name was similar to the one that betrayed Jesus.
Joseph.
Luke.
His name was similar to the one that betrayed Jesus.
Thomas?
He was a blood brother of Jesus. Jesus had many other brothers, but they were, didn't know. Because Mary had other children besides Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all in the family in that same disciple. He is known to you as Saint Jude of the Impossible. You ever heard of Saint Jude of the Impossible? The only movie star that would ever pray to him to get in the movies and make up millions of bucks. He built a whole hospital in Memphis, Tennessee.
Who?
Hmm? A movie star.
Danny Thomas.
Danny Thomas, You got some, all right. Good old Danny Thomas. But it wasn't Thomas.
You mean
Phosphorus wasn't Thomas.
He's Saint Jude?
Saint Jude.
Danny Thomas is
St. Jude? No, I said he prayed to St. Jude. Maybe he is. He prayed to St. Jude.
Oh, right. Of all the hospital.
And because he is often referred to in the biblical writing as Saint of the Impossible.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
In other words, when all the others fail and everything is, and Brother Jesus ain't got time for you, pray to St. Jude, his other brother.
But Jude wasn't a disciple.
Yes.
Okay, but...
What brother?
He was called Jude of Thaddeus. That was his name. And they refer to him as Saint Jude today. But he was named Jude of Thaddeus. He was a disciple. Or Thaddeus was a short word. But he was... Well, let's get back to some of the facts of what the Phosphorus is doing. You have it assigned to the middle of the day, but you need it in the morning and you need it at night. And all your seafood provided for you. In the middle of the day, phosphorus foods are very easy to find.
They're very what?
Easy to recognize.
Why are they easy to recognize?
Phosphorus.
Because they glow. Because they glow in the day.
Don't you know it?
Watercress?
Water. No, that's nighttime. You read the autobiography of a yogi? Remember he came to give his teacher a present of a vegetable? And then when he left the door open, the teacher scolded him for leaving the ashram door open. And in order to punish him, the teacher made some drunk guy go steal the vegetable hidden under the bed. And didn't take nothing of value out of the ashram, but ran home with the vegetable. What are vegetables called? It looks like your vegetable brain.
Cauliflower.
Congratulations.
Oh, wow.
It's very high in phosphorus. Nature has a way to teach you chemistry. Two ways, allopathic and homeopathic. The look of a thing to the name of a thing can match the chemistry of the thing.
Mm.
Don't kidney because you need some kid beans. What kind of beans?
Kidney
beans. So you're weak in the mirror. You're too well. You're fooling yourself by kidding all the time. So that you don't have to go around being weak in the knees and kidding people. You better start eating your kidney beans.
Do kidney beans have a lot of manganese in them?
Yeah, it does.
They do?
Wow.
And do they relate?
You ever heard of starch blocker? What's a blocker? Something that will give you what? The guts to stand on your 2 feet and do your thing? Kidney beans, get it? That was one big bean that people seldom eat. But today now, it's one of the most important beans in reinforcing your vitality and removing cholesterol.
Even if they've been canned.
Even if they've been canned. Let me explain something about food. A raw food, you're eating it for its nitrogen. A cooked food, you're eating it for its minerals. Mm. So don't go confused and say that you'll get trapped. Whenever you eat the food raw, you're eating it for the nitrogen. When you eat it cooked, you're eating it for its minerals. So if you eat cooked food, make sure you got some what? Raw food around it. And if you eat raw food, make sure you got a little bit of cooked food to make the equal acid-alkaline balance. So, if you eat a piece of bread, it's cooked. Put a piece of lettuce, or tomato,
or both.
Okay.
What about the raw food diet of Ann Wigmore that was supposed to be, you know, take these people into great old age, real healthy and vital?
They got too alkaline. And she couldn't understand why.
They what?
They got too alkaline because she never considered blood type. I went down that road too. I know Ann Wigmore personally. I've done the all the stuff there for my cancer. But I'm not going to condemn Anne, and that's not my role. Anne is a very good scientist, nutritionist, but Anne does not work with timing. Miyakushi is a very good scientist, but he still doesn't work with timing. Many of the other doctors I've met over the years, they all are good in their chemistry. But when it comes to timing, none of them work with timing. Timing was something I had to stumble across the hard way when I was told that I had the cancer. And I said to the doctor, it's impossible, doctor, I don't eat the stuff. Then I had to go and find out blood types was more important in reference to the timing. Because I was type O blood. Even though I didn't eat no meat and drank no alcohol, I was so alkaline. I had a beautiful tongue. So pink, man. Was nice looking. And I have cancer. Now the person who was indulging is having cancer. So I realized something was wrong, not in the chemistry. It's in some particular concept of the principle. Then I realized it was blood type that played the role.
Now, isn't, that the, isn't that what the story of Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel is all about?
That's right.
Blood types?
Exactly.
That's why one roasts the meat and the other one...
vegetable, right?
Right.
Adam is A and Eve is B.
B.
And Abel is O and Cain is AB.
AB.
That's right. They were just the models. That's so AB type finds it difficult to have a blood transfer. If they have a problem, you know they can't use O blood. They gotta get AB blood. Now, that is funny. When you think of what was said to AB blood, which is Cain, after he slaughtered, the story goes, that's the allegory, or his brother Abel, the O blood. And then he was asked, where is his brother? And they said, am I my brother's keeper? Then he was driven out of the garden, and then the judgment was, let no man lay a hand on Cain. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. This is the way early man wrote their conceptual thinking. It's nice as an allegorical condition. It's nice in the terms of making you feel guilt conscious to relate. But when you come to the actual physics, what it boils down to. Cain is a representation of an AB blood. A is a representation of Adam blood. And Eve is B. O is Abel. And I like what you use the word Abel. It's the only blood that is we call the universal donor, type O. It'll match B to give B to if B needs blood, use the O. if A needs blood, O will go. But AB needing blood, it don't work. AB has to have what?
AB.
And that's the principle of vengeance is mindset. So a person who comes in with an AB blood, you know they have a problem with an injury to their skin, and when they come to need blood, they're in a predicament. But the chemistry is involved in it too. That they're in that particular, and what is predominantly in the AB blood is sulfur. Because their suicidal tendencies are strong, and their destructive, vicious tendencies are very strong.
So if they understood this kind of thing, it could be balanced out very early in life for the AB type.
Yeah.
Balance
that. Is that why they often become religiously fanatical?
Yes.
Oh. Is there compensation?
The sulfur does that to us. Now, which lizard indulges sulfur, flies like a bird?
Say the question again.
Which lizard indulged with sulfur flies like a bird?
Dragon.
The dragon. The dragon's breath is sulfur. Therefore, a dragon has to live where? In a hole, in a cave, where there's water. To protect it against what? The environmental conditions of other chemistry. You ever saw the picture of Dragon Slayer? The dragon was hiding away in a cave in water. And the only way you can stop a dragon is phosphorus. The only way you can block sulfur is phosphorus. And you look in the table of chemistry, there, you cannot slow down sulfur unless you've got enough phosphorus. If you add water to sulfur, what do you get?
Sulfuric acid.
Good, congratulations. You want to put your finger in it? But if you put sulfur next to phosphorus, what can happen? The phosphorus will phase down the sulfur. That's homeopathy again. The homeopathic medicine is already set up in the body. Phosphorus phase down sulfur.
So ABs need phosphorus then.
Anybody who has an AB blood, they need to eat a lot of phosphorus to phase down the sulfur, causing problems in them.
But they also become health fanatics, and I've seen so many of them as 100% vegetarians. They won't touch an egg, a piece of fish. I mean, I know somebody that we're both thinking of right now.
Yeah.
But there's other ways to get the phosphorus besides fish, right?
Seaweed.
You have phosphorus in the morning, you have phosphorus in the middle of the day, and you have phosphorus at night. Tell me, which food you think would have it that doesn't have no tissue? There's a night food that has phosphorus that doesn't have no tissue, it's
kelp.
Fiber.
Kelp.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what's the morning?
Bananas.
Yeah.
There you go. Are you going too far? Well, in the middle of the day?
Cauliflower.
Good. Can't get lost. See, nature has provided in three different light growths of three different geometries with the same element for the use of it, so that none of the other elements can be out of sync or overload the mechanism. That's why the solar principle eventually validates itself all around, because it's what is called synchronous alignment. And you're allowed to go off, overload, but then you want to come back. You got to get back to the timing. And the timing is a structural makeup of the thing. A good example is this little gadget down here. To hook it up together, so you have to have a little blueprint book of instructions to hook it up together.
Sure.
But is the gadget made before the blueprint book, or the blueprint book is made after the gadget?
Blueprint's done first, then the gadget.
So, our environment came before
first.
We may not like it, but we're stuck with it. But why not benefit from it? If the environment was designed before us with the intent to be around till midnight eternity, and we are thrown in it to find out how to synchronize with it, wouldn't it be beneficial for us to learn how to live to live instead of live to die? Mm-hmm. Common sense in the end, I'll tell you. That's what you will end up having to do. So living to die is living to get sick out of ignorance. Living to live is to stay healthy through conscious application. That doesn't say there's no fun, there's no fun living to live. Mm-hmm. Wait till you get to more higher understanding of the geometry chemistry, you will really laugh then.
Does body cavity have a lot of phosphorus in it?
Yeah. One thing I didn't understand with this, before we leave it, with the different blood types, in O blood type, you should be mostly vegetarian and like 20% meat? Or is it the other way around?
No.
That's where I got confused.
The chemical balance is 80% alkaline, 20% acid.
Uh-huh.
Acid foods come in two ranges. Refined or tissue. Alkaline foods are unrefined, uncooked.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that. Now, if you don't want to touch tissue, tissue is only a backup system like a spare tire in the car. It is not a primal food for the body, for that matter. But no teacher would block it off, literally, if you don't have a tissue. They'll make it, they'll pacify the person and bless it. But the point is this, if you want to use the fiber food and don't want to use the tissue food, make sure you know your blood type. Don't monkey around with it by just haphazardly saying, I'm going to be a vegetarian and I don't touch it. I need to find out. You're mucking up your system more worse than if you understand what your blood type is and the compensations of your blood type involved. So, my question is this. If God made the meat and he made the plant and he is sitting down in the throne waiting for dead people, would he excuse me if I eat a piece of meat once in a while or drink a little wine, even though he's making alcohol with my spinal fluid and form me as a doggone worm who ate the egg to be a human being? You know, I gotta say, look man, you put me together this way, if I eat a little, are you gonna really gonna slap me up? So what the hell? You can shove it, keep it, I don't have to come back in. Because I'm playing the charades down here for your benefit. You create the movie called creation. I come in as the actor called individuality. You provide this costume called body. You want to stay inside this body as the supreme ruler of the show, working through individuality as appreciation. Where do I fit in? Only in memory? Then if I fit in memory, keep the show. Creative consciousness will give you grace. That's why Brother Jesus came in the body as grace, as iodine. In the worst nuclear bomb we can throw in this world, the iodine will get you through the worst situation. And that's what the grace is. The chemistry is there to prove itself. Today we know they don't panic no more like years ago when the first atom bomb was thrown off. Today the issue, what? To
everybody. Do apples have iodine then?
Yes.
Afternoon foods have iodine? Daytime.
Yes.
Donna,
huh?
What daytime foods have iodine?
Iodine three times a day. Morning you need iodine, middle of the day you need iodine, nighttime you need iodine.
What food is a good source for the middle of the day?
Alfalfa has a good
one.
Alfalfa's got iodine. Rhubarb has iodine. Nighttime food is seaweed. But looking at non-meat, now here's your blood type. If I'm a type A, fine. I'll eat all the fiber, but I'll eat a little refined fiber. Now, if I don't want to touch wine or alcohol, even though I'll freeze to death in the cold weather, my body will still make alcohol in my spinal fluid. So common sense will tell me what? Brother Jesus, if he blessed it, he said, do it in my name. Is this only for tomorrow or yesterday, or is this for midnight eternity? Do it in my name.
Midnight eternity.
Then we are liable to make mistakes. We're liable to what? Never have the chance to be meticulously all right. Don't we have any compensation for some kind of a mistake? We do have the compensation, but we don't want to make a habit out of it. That's the big difference of the thing. And I will tell you the story with this particular eating with the mineral in the food as a tissue versus eating the mineral in the food as a fiber. There was a woman who was traveling with Yogananda, and he's not a vegetarian, he's a proper eaterian.
proper eaterian.
The big difference between a vegetarian and a proper eaterian. Mm-hmm. Vegetarians eat French fry and Coke some
and melted cheese. melted cheese.
Proper eaterian eat more than what in their time frame. Anyway, they were going along and they stopped at a Chinese restaurant. They were several there in the car. And she was in charge of the group. And then the waiter came along, she told them what they wanted. And they wanted no meat and everything. Fine. To their amazement, everybody got the Chinese food without any meat except her plate. It had a little piece of chicken. That's the comedy of this phenomenon. She looked at it and she couldn't believe it. She meticulously told the guy, and she called her that she started ranting with about it. By that time, she was ranting and raving to the waiter about it, and he tried to make Yogananda pull her and said, sister, sit down. The chicken is dead. Why don't you eat it? In fact, by the grace of God, it's the right time today. By the grace of God, it's the right time today. Meaning what? When were they stopping to eat? Right, exactly. So she then sat down and kept quiet. And I met her after. She said, Adano, I'm crying not because of anguish, I'm crying of laughter. The piece of chicken tastes like a chocolate bar.
Oh!
That was a funny joke for her. You know, it tastes like a chocolate bar, her favorite dessert.
Oh, God.
So he's trying to show her, with the grace, you being attuned to the knowledge of what you are, you can override the mistake, but you don't make it an addiction or abuse. But the understanding is the most important thing, that health is within your control if you understand the mechanics. And that's the same way with the food. Out of their time frame, you can bless it. In their time frame, the enzymes are going to pass it through, because why? They're set up by nature to do that, and they're not going to refuse. Your saliva will not refuse, even though your stomach is designed to handle fiber and not handle tissue. It will not refuse to pass it through because it's like a spare tire in the car.